out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." They were saying, "Come, come," but they wanted him to come their way. They wanted him to come and throw the Romans out and set up the kingdom their way so that they were in charge, and you know, that we can be the top dogs again and that type of thing. And man, they missed the whole boat. So sometimes I think we miss the boat because we don't just go, "Come, Lord, I'll change to how you want me to change. Not my agenda, but your agenda, God. I want you. I want only you." Amen? Amen. Come on, because God is good. He's good to me. Glory to God. We're actually in Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? We started this way back, and it was either September or October, and we're still going in Ephesians. What's that?
We're being thorough.
Well, I thank God is speaking to us. And remember, when we first started out, it was like the reason I even started the book was I was reading through it one day, and I just, you know, counted all the times Jesus or Jesus Christ or was written in his title, you know, and it was like, man, we read about this doctrine and that doctrine and this and how it applies to me, but it's all about Jesus. Even when it applies to you, it's about you and Jesus. You in Jesus, right? Not you and Jesus, you in Jesus. Come on. Glory to God. I'm more convinced than ever that if we could really see who we are, and we'll talk about that a minute in the Spirit, we just have a completely different outlook on life. Did you know that you can't lose? No matter what life throws at you, you can't lose. Why? Because we're in Jesus. He's got us in his hands. So turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 10. We read that last week, but we're going to start there and see how far we get tonight. Amen? But look at what it says in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." This, it doesn't say, "Finally, brethren, be as strong as you can, and maybe God will come through. Be strong in yourself and see if you can hold out to the end." Right? It doesn't say that. It says, "Be strong in the Lord." What does that mean? Well, it has to do with God, but it also has to do with you. You know, you have to be strong in your faith. And again, it's not the faith of, man, my faith, I built my faith up. No, it's your absolute confidence, first of all, that God loves you. Does God love you tonight?
Oh, yes.
He does. Is God with you tonight?
Yes.
Right? If we could walk around with that confidence, and everything that we face, if we could just have the picture that Jesus is with me, it'd change everything. It would change everything. Why? Well, because when you're dealing with the knuckleheads you have to deal with, right, or the problems that you have to deal with, you know, or even some of the decisions that you made, right, that put you in situations you don't like. That's probably only happened to me, but it's happened. But it's like, no, I can be strong in knowing that God is with me. He's not up there somewhere. He's not someplace where I have to go, God, I don't know if you're going to be with me today or not. I don't know if, because of everything that's transpired and we've talked about for the last few months, because of that, I can be strong in the Lord, right? Strong, powerful, mighty in God. And he's going to go on to tell us, and we'll read it, you know, having done all to stand therefore. But it's not, I'm standing in my knit, you know, I'm just going to be strong and I'm going to, no, I'm strong in the Lord. So what I'm strong in is my faith in what God has said and what he's done. Isn't that awesome? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and be strong you know, there's so much you could go through and into this, and I'm not going to go that far because we talked about it last week a little bit. But I'm not strong in a wimpy person. I'm not strong in somebody that's, you know, sometimes we get this picture of here's God and here's the devil, and they're duking it out. And they're fighting in a warfare, and then finally at the end of the age, God's going to slip through and win. See, he's already won. He's already won, and Jesus has already made an open display, triumphing over the devil. Come on. And that's what we're standing in. So we're standing in the Lord and the power of his might, or the authority that comes with who he is. We're going to talk a little bit about authority tonight. You have authority. But you have authority because it was given to you in Christ Jesus. But you see, we have to see ourselves differently than what we see from the natural realm. Right? If I look in the mirror, I see my body, right? It's not the same body I looked at 20 years ago. But it's still my body, right? But that's not who I am. My body is not who I am. My spirit man is who I am. And my spirit man has been made new in Christ Jesus. And my spirit man houses, come on, it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when I'm standing strong in the Lord, it's not talking about your physical strength, your mental ability, or even your will to stand. It's like, Lord, I'm standing strong in who you are and who you've made me to be. Be strong in the Lord, come on, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or the schemes of the devil. You know, there is a real devil. Did you know that there is a real devil, and his job description is found in John 10:10. It says that the thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. So anything that's happening in your life that is killing, stealing, or destroying, you know the source of it is it came from the devil. Now, let me clarify that just a little bit. Part of what we go through is a result of our giving in to what the devil's tempted us to do. Right? You know, sometimes it's not the devil that we're fighting as much as we're just suffering the consequences of our own choices. Right? But here's the good news. It's kind of like if you begin to plant the good seed and you stand in what you're supposed to do, you can't lose. Do you know that God has he has a will for you to walk in? God's will for you, he'll make evident to you if we seek him for it. Right? Lord, what do you want me to do? And if you really mean that, he'll show you. But oftentimes we ask him and then he says, do this, and you say, I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, it's not a big thing like, you know, climb Mount Everest. It's like, you know, go mow your neighbor's lawn. I don't think so, Lord. You know, love somebody who's they stink. Right? I mean, no, it's like, Lord, I want to know your will. I want to be in the center of your will. But we have to put on the whole armor of God. And we're going to talk about the armor of God, and we're going to talk about how that armor puts us in a position, watch this, to combat any attack the enemy would have over us. Right? The enemy wants to take you out. The enemy wants your life to be miserable. Right? He wants you to go through life with, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but boy, this life sucks. But that's not what Jesus said. He said in that same verse that I just quoted, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, or you might have it in the full. And he's not talking just about it in eternity, he's talking about right now. I believe the apostles lived an abundant life even though they went through some things. Why? Because they were more cognizant of God with them than they were the devil against them. Let me just say that again, because I think we need to soak on that for a minute. We need to be more cognizant of the of God with us than we do of the devil against us. I've been in testimony meetings. How many love a good testimony? How many have been in bad testimonies before? Right? I mean, just quit already. Because all they talk about is what the devil has done in their life. Well, that isn't a testimony for the glorification of God. That's a testimony of a glorification of the devil, right? But we're not ignorant of his devices, the Bible says. But if we put on the whole armor of God, we'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And we're going to go through that armor in just a minute. But listen to what it doesn't say, but sometimes we want it to say. God, would you put my armor on for me today? Right? But that's not what it says. It says you put on the armor of God. Now again, I've seen people, they get into the exercise and I've seen them go as far as to buy a suit of armor and put the, that's fine, but that's symbolic of what the real thing is. Right? And so as we go through this, we're going to see that it's up to us on a continual basis to say, God, here I am. I'm putting on the armor of God. And the first piece of the armor, watch this. Or we can't get there yet. Verse 12, because this is really important. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Are you sure? Lord, are you sure? Because there's some people I've wanted to wrestle. Actually, I wanted to box. But anyway, we do not wrestle or war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The devil's real. And there are principalities and powers, and the principality is the primary, or the general, right? Principality and power. And power is the authority that he, or the might that backs his principality. So, and you'll notice this, and I know men who travel around and they go, well, you know, this is an easy place to preach. They go to other places, man, it's hard to preach here because there's stronger principalities over certain areas. And they're different. I said they're different by what's gone on there, right? But the reality is, and this is for us tonight, is that it doesn't matter what principality's there. It doesn't matter what power's there. It doesn't even matter what ruler of darkness of this age is there. It doesn't even matter what host of wickedness in heavenly places is there. Right now, I don't think it's going to happen, but it, you know, in the spirit realm, there could be 10 demons that come in here that are really bad, nasty, and ugly. And they could come in here and they could say, well, we're going to kill you all. We're going to, and the reality is all that we have to do is say, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because his authority trumps their authority. They have authority, but his authority is over their authority. But he's given us that authority. He told his disciples, and they weren't even born again at this point, he said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over most of the power of the enemy. Is that what he said? He said all. All. They weren't even born again yet. They didn't have the Spirit of God living inside of them. They had a touch of the Spirit on them because Jesus gave it to them that way. But us, in the new creation reality, is that I have the Spirit of God living on the inside of me, and He's given me power and authority. I don't fight or wrestle with the spiritual wickedness in high places from a stand of, I might win. I need to stand, not even that I'm going to win, but I've already won because I'm standing in Jesus. I tell you, Terry's been with me a long time, so when I tell stories, he goes, I remember that story. I remember that story. I remember that story. But I'll tell you the story that Renita and I were with a friend of mine, and I hadn't seen him for a long time. He and his wife recently got saved, and we went down and visited them. It was my birthday weekend. Renita surprised me. I didn't know where we were going. They lived in Vancouver. We headed down there, and we're going to spend the night with them and come back a couple days later, whatever. And so we're talking about things, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about our prayer language, and Sue, Tom's wife, had gotten her prayer language, and Tom says, well, I haven't received my prayer language. Well, I said, you can have it right now if you want it. And so we put him in a chair, and we started praying for him, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, right? And so Sue comes along, and she says, well, man, I want to be blessed. Why don't you pray over me? And we started praying over her, and the eyes of her head rolled to the back, and a man's voice came out. We got to go now, so thank you very much. We'll see. No. No, because we knew who we were, right? And so in the name of Jesus, it took a minute. It didn't happen instantly, but we stayed with it until she was free. And come to find out that she was raised in a witch's home. But I don't care about witches. I want witches to be saved. But we got to drive the devil out of them before they can be. We've got to make them aware of what they're really looking at before they can be. Come on. I believe we have authority over that. Another time, I haven't been saved very long. We're in a prayer meeting. We're praying for this young lady. She was probably 15, 16 years old. We start praying for her, and again, a man's voice comes out of her with the temperature in the room will cool down. What do you do with that? Well, the only reason it's manifesting is because God is showing it to you so that you can free her from it. So what do? We cast the devil out of her. Come to find out, she was, again, a high priestess. At one point, she was saved at this point, but she had been a high priestess in a coven. But I don't care what the coven is. Why? Because I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principality. But I'm wrestling from a position of authority, and that authority is in Jesus. I can cast out devils. So can you. They that believe, right? Shall cast out devils. It's really not an issue, but we must become aware. And I've seen people try to go, okay, we're going to write this book. And we're going to say, if this is happening in your life, it's this demon. Or if this is happening, it's this demon. And you see, the whole key to the thing is it's like, Lord, I have to wrestle from my relationship and not somebody else's relationship. So in other words, the devil's a liar. And he can tell you lies, but the Holy Spirit will tell you the truth. Right? So I need discernment operating in my life so that when I come against an attack, I can know where it's coming from. And even I can, in my own self, Lord, is this attack coming from something I've done? Or something that I believe wrongly in? Or is it coming from a spiritual, you see what I'm saying? So that I can attack it at the right level. Because you don't attack things that are of wrong thinking from by rebuking the devil. You attack wrong thinking by right thinking.
Amen.
Right? And you replace the wrong thinking with the right thinking. The Bible talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. But watch this. And we take every thought captive and bring it into the obedience of Christ, right? So we got to get our thinking right. Now watch this. Watch. This is so good. Therefore, verse 13, he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. You see, you're going to come up against things that aren't going to go away right away. And you've got to make a stand. Whew. Especially where other people's wills are involved. Come on, Satan might be messing with your kids, with your grandkids, with whatever. Well, Satan, I'm coming against you right now in Jesus' name. Now, they got to make some decisions, and you're not saying I'm going to make decisions for them, but you're going to come against. The Bible says that their minds are blinded, at least they see the truth. So we're coming against the spirits that are blinding the minds that are keeping them from seeing the truth. You see what I'm saying? But they still have to make the choice. I can't manipulate or make a choice for somebody else, but I can stand. You know what stand means? Stand. How long do I stand? Until you win, right? But I'm standing not on my own willpower. I'm standing in the power of the Spirit, right? Having done all to stand. In other words, everything that you know to do, do. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute, some of the things, the key things that we need to look on when we're putting on our whole armor, right? But therefore stand, having girded your waist with the truth. Others talk about the belt of truth. So the first step that you need to do when you're putting on the whole armor is saying, God, what is the truth? Because your truth might not be the truth. Right. In other words, Lord, this is truth. This is truth. There's only one who has the absolute truth, and that's God.
Amen.
But you have the Spirit of God inside of you. Right. And if you seek Him for the truth, He'll show you the truth. But He can't show you the truth if you're going to hang on to what you perceive as truth. And not allow Him to speak into you.
Amen.
So, you know, the truth will set you free, but sometimes the freedom hurts.
Yeah.
There's a process, you know, there's a process, and it hurts a little bit, but it's good for you. It's like, I've got to be willing to stand in His truth, whether I like it or not. What does that mean? Well, you know, you might have grown up, and hopefully nobody in here has, but you might have grown up in a family or somebody that, you know, has long lines back to prejudice situations, and in your upbringing and in your thinking that you're superior to somebody else because of their skin, because of their sex, because of whatever reason, that you're superior to them. So that's been your conditioning. So your truth is, I am better than they are. Or at least I'm superior to them just based on my skin color or my sex or whatever, right? Well, that's not true. That's not true, but it's ingrained in you. And so every time, even though in your mind you've gone, well, bless God, I'm not going to be prejudiced anymore. I know that's not from God. But every time you come across somebody that is a different color, you go, well, you haven't fully embraced the truth yet. So if you're going to put on the belt of truth, you have to be honest with yourself. Right? You have to say, okay, God, I'm willing to look at me. I'll ask you a question. In your relationships, and everybody in here has had conflict, let me ask you a question. Have you been right more times than you've been wrong in your conflicts? I'm seeing this, but if that's true, how many times have you apologized, right, for being wrong? All I'm saying is that oftentimes I've known people, and obviously they're not in the room tonight, but that are never wrong. Even if they're wrong, they're not wrong, because it's somebody else's fault. Or I wouldn't, look, here's another good one. Well, I wouldn't have done that if she didn't do that. Or the only way I acted on what I was going to act, you see, we're talking about schemes of the enemy. The enemy is going to be just like he did to Adam and Eve. He's going to come, has God really said? And what he did is he started to twist the truth and put it in a different light so that it was easier to be swallowed. Right? And so what we have to come back to is, no, wait a minute. God's truth is truth. And if God reveals something to me, then I'm going to make that my new standard and my new truth. Right? Because you can't put the belt of truth on as long as you're hanging on to your religious ideas, your prejudices, your blame, your denial. Right? And so when we're going to God, David even said it this way. He said, show me my heart and see if there's any iniquity in there. What, I mean, well, obviously he'd know if he had iniquity. Maybe not. Maybe his perception of the truth put him in a position where he couldn't really see the truth, because in his heart, he still had a way of thinking that wasn't lined up with the truth. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So for us tonight, it's like, Lord, show me the truth. And oftentimes, here's how we pray when we're in conflict. Lord, you know me. I'm your child. You know I'm right. Fix them. Right? My life would be so much better if they were just smarter, if they were this, if they were that, if they were... And the reality is you've just put yourself in the position of bondage to the enemy's control. Can you see it? It's like, Lord, I can't deal with whether they're right or wrong. That's between you and them. But where you and I are concerned, what's the truth where my heart is concerned? Hallelujah. And years ago, Renita, who's my better half, and you know, she is so supportive. She's my cheerleader, always has been. One day there was something that was going on in the church, and somebody got offended. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Somebody got offended at me, and I said something. I said, well, I didn't intend to do that. And she just said, it doesn't matter what your intentions were. You hurt them. Get behind. No. Submit, woman. No, it was like, but the truth of that hit my heart. And so I had to go deal with the hurt that I'd caused, whether intentionally or, see, because I was putting the belt of truth on. See, we have to be at a place where, God, I want to hear your perspective of the truth, because if I don't, I can never walk in freedom, and I can never stand against the things that the enemy, the schemes that he's trying to bring against me. So I got to put that belt of truth on. Hallelujah. And then he said, having your breastplate on the breastplate of righteousness. Isn't that interesting? The breastplate goes over the heart, doesn't it? Right? And we know from a positional standpoint that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's so cool. I don't stand in my own righteousness, but here's the thing about righteousness. Righteousness means being right with. So I need to have my heart right with God. If I'm going to stand against the enemy, I got to have my heart right with God. What does that look like? Well, he said to forgive. But you don't know what they did. Do you want to be right? Then forgive. He said to bless those who've cursed you, and you go, but. Are you going to put on the breastplate of righteousness? Then you're going to do what he says, because you put the belt of truth on. You've already found out what that truth is, and so you're going to go, Lord, I'm going to walk in the truth, whether it makes sense to me or not, even if it's to my own hurt. My heart in my relationship with you is more important than anything else. See? So the breastplate of righteousness is to make sure that your heart is right with God. That's good. That is really good. Watch this now. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Such a description. The gospel has to be my motivation for everything that I do. But watch this. It's interesting that he talks about the gospel and your feet. Why is that interesting? Because Jesus, the Great Commission is, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. In other words, it didn't say sit ye therefore. It didn't say stay here, I'll bring them to you. But watch this. It's very interesting. He says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's the gospel of peace? Very simply, the gospel of peace is that Jesus paid the price for your sins and my sins, and he removed that between you and God. So what does that mean? That God's no longer mad at me. God's no longer mad at you. God has, through Jesus, has made it peace between us. So we need to go tell people that God's not angry at them. The gospel is not going and telling people how bad they are. I'm not saying that God would never tell you to say, well, listen, you keep that up, you're going to go to hell in a handbasket. The Holy Spirit, watch, the Holy Spirit will use you to, if you're listening to him, to say exactly what's going to get to somebody else's heart. And some people need to hear that. Some people have been won to Christ when they find out the absolute desperate need that they have. And part of the gospel message is repentance. You've got to change your thinking. You've got to change your ways. You've got to change, right? That's part of it. But from our perspective, if we're going to put on the armor of God, I have to be ready to tell people that God has made the way that they can access him, because he's no longer mad at them. There's no longer a wall that separates them. But if they'll accept Jesus, they can be free. Right? So I put on the belt of truth, and I've made sure that my heart is right. And that's kind of interesting. And then I'm to go. Then I'm to go. So it's like, even if you were to witness to somebody, even if you know, it was on your heart, listen, go tell brother so-and-so, or, you know, your old friend Joe, you're going to go talk to him about Jesus. Well, Lord, before I do that, I want to do two things first. I want to make sure that I'm going in truth, and I want to make sure that my heart is right with you. Right? That my heart is right. You know, you can tell somebody the right thing in the wrong attitude. Right? It might be exactly right, but it's the only reason you're telling them. The only reason you're telling them is because what they're doing is making your life worse. And that's not the right attitude. Oh, thank you so much. Come on. It's like, no, Lord, you show me the truth. You show me. And so, Lord, I'm going, but I'm going with the attitude where I'm not concerned with my heart because my heart is in your hands, but what I'm concerned with is the heart of the person that I'm going to. And Lord, I don't want them to hear the truth so that I can be made right. I want them to hear the truth so that you can be right in their eyes. Amen. Yeah. I mean, have you ever had this thought, my life would be so much better if he would just, or if they would just, well, first of all, you're giving them too much control. And secondly, it's like, no, Lord, help me. Help me. This is a little bit off the subject, but how in the world could God expect us to forgive somebody that's done something horrendous, either to us or, I think, even worse, to one of our children? Right? I mean, that's tough. That's tough. But the reality is, and this is the way I've always looked at it, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principality. Somebody to do something that awful to one of somebody I love or to me, there had to be a demon or behind. They had choices to make, but at its origin, it's the devil messed them up somehow, right? And I'm not saying that you just say, well, you know, the devil made you do that, so you're not responsible for your actions. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm definitely not saying, listen, you know, God showed me and I forgive you, and so come and do it to me again. I'm definitely not saying that. There's boundaries that are to be put up. But I can forgive because God has forgiven me. But also I can see that what caused them to get to that warped place was because of Satan killing, stealing, and destroying in them. So I'm not fighting them. I'm fighting the principalities and powers that are behind. And I'm going to pray that they'd be delivered from them in Jesus' name. Whew. Hallelujah. Again, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be justice and there shouldn't, but ultimately I'm going to have to leave that with the state and with God if I'm going to walk in forgiveness. Amen. We're putting on the whole armor of God. Now look at this. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. You've come here at any time, you've heard me preach on faith before. But what is faith? Faith really is confidence that God meant what he said, and I'm going to believe, and if I really truly believe it, then my life is going to reflect it. Right? Somebody said, well, you know, I believe I can jump over this cliff and reach the other side. I believe I can do that. Really? Sure. I believe. And you know, four teenagers, they're just sitting around, I believe I can do that too. I can do it. I bless God. I believe it. And they're talking about it. 15 minutes goes by, a half hour goes by. And then one of the guys says, runs and jumps over it. He acted on what he believed because he had confidence that he could do it. But the three who didn't were still on the other side. You see, because they were saying that they believed, but they really didn't believe. Because if they really believed it, they'd do what they believed. So when we're talking about the shield of faith, it's not what we mentally ascend to, but what we're confident in our heart that God has promised, and therefore I can put that promise that is deep down in my heart, and I can hold it up against the enemy and say, no, 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 no. And I think the clearest picture of that, and I believe this with all of my heart, and I've seen it operate. Everybody has the opportunity for fear, right? We've talked about the coronavirus. And all you can't buy hand sanitizer, you can't buy toilet paper, you can't. Why? I mean, it's crazy because of the fear. No top ramen. No. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now watch this. I think you need to be smart. I'm not saying you shouldn't do the things that you should do, but watch this. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment with it. If you're tormented with anything, its source is fear. But when you find out how much God loves you and you really believe that in your heart, fear goes away, because what's the worst that could happen? I get a fever and I wake up tomorrow some glad morning, right? So it's like, but if we're going to take the shield of faith, our confidence in what God has promised us, then we're able to quench that fear. I did a series on fear several years ago now, I think. I might have to do that again. But one of the steps for fear was this. And some of you were here, some of you weren't. Here's what you do when fear starts to build up in your heart. You know, and especially if you're struggling with fear of something. I said, when you get that thought, do this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You see, watch this. That'll drive fear away. That'll drive fear away, because why? You're putting in your heart the truth. Amen. And that truth is the shield of faith that you're holding up against that fire. We had fiery dart. We had people come back and say, you know what? And, you know, I had several points and had them all written down. You know, we sing that and it works. Right? I mean, I had theological, just points and what came back? Jesus loved, right? And so it's, but that's the truth. What are you afraid of? You don't attack fear with your ability to stand. You attack fear with the armor of God. What is the armor? Here's the truth of the situation. My heart is right with God, and I found out that he loves me. And his perfect love keeps me in peace. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know if you... What's that? I don't know if I can or not. But I've got the truth, right? And I put that on, right? And then I've checked out my heart with God, and I know that that's right with God. And so the fiery dart of fear comes against me, and I say, oh, no, oh, no, 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 no. Jesus loves me. And that fear goes away. Because the love of God will shield you from fear. Because what can fear do to me if God's got me? That's why, you know, and I believe there's different graces for this for different situations. But many of you saw the video of the Islamic jihadists, and they had all of these Christians lined up on a seashore, and they're all in orange jumpsuits with the sword. And all they had to do was renounce Jesus, and they'd spare him. But none of them renounced. Why? Because perfect love casts out the fear of death. Death, where is thy sting? It's gone when we drive the fear of death away. Does that make sense? Come on. But it's all, when you put on, and again, the shield of faith, where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes by not just reading, watch this, not just hearing with your outer ear, but letting the Holy Spirit make this real to you on the inside. Jesus said this when he was talking about the sower, the parable, and many other, I've got to quit, parables. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So you can hear things with your outer ear, but never hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Are you listening to me? So it's like, Lord, I'm coming to you because I want to know the truth. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for speaking to me. And Lord, with everything that I have, because I put on the armor of God, I'm going to hear what you have to say. And once I hear it, then it'll be lodged in my heart. And faith or confidence in what you've said will come up. And anything that the enemy brings against me that's contrary will come against that and go, shh. Does that make sense? Come on. Is that good? That's really good. Really good. Now watch this. Well, actually, you know what? I don't have time. We'll take up 17 because it's good next week. 17 next week. Did you get anything tonight? Come on. Absolutely. But it's kind of like, did you hear that tonight? Then what are you going to do with it? Right? Because if we don't apply it, yeah, that was good. Who cares? Right? I don't want to know that it was good. I want to know that it's applied. Yeah. Right? And that it's working. For me and for you also. But, amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you that your word has come into us. And, Lord, we're taking it personally. And Lord, we've seen tonight in maybe a little bit different light what this whole armor thing means. And God, we ask you to just burn that into us. We're open to your truth, Lord. We're open to you revealing yourself to us. And we'll take your opinion over our opinion. We'll take your opinion over our perceptions. We'll take your opinion, Lord, over our feelings. And Lord, we just thank you for moving tonight. I thank you, Lord, that even some of the things that you promised us in the past that haven't come to pass yet, Lord, they're on the way. And I thank you, Lord, for our families. I thank you for our finances. I thank you for protection. Lord, we just thank you and praise you and honor you. And from our position of authority, we just say, Satan, get your hands off of our church, off of our families, off of our country. We're taking this land for Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you've sent us here to possess it. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to bless the offering tonight as it goes for Children's Church and for the youth group, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for supplying all of their needs. Thank you for Donnie and Miss Marcy, Lord, as they're working with the young people, Lord. We just thank you, God, for touching them and changing them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing, breaking every yoke in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks.